This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. They're calling it Bid 2.0, Boston 2024's revised plan for the Summer Olympic Games in and around Boston, which was unveiled today.
The 200-page plan comes with a $4.6 billion price tag, and it recasts the 2024 Games as a milestone in a longer-term vision for the future of the city.
And according to Boston 2024, the private group pushing for the Games, part of that vision includes the construction of two new neighborhoods in Boston at Wydette Circle between Boston's South End and South Boston and Columbia Point. Here's chairman of Boston 2024, Steve Pagliuca.
Taking this neighborhood, it unites two neighborhoods of Boston. It completes the Emerald Necklace. It's going to give us parks and bike pathways. You'll see it's a very exciting program. It's going to increase our global profile and finally civic pride.
WBUR business and technology reporter Kurt Nikisch was at the announcement, and he joins us now. Hi there, Kurt.
Hey, Meghna.
So we heard a little bit of the vision there. Tell us more about what's new in the plan.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest difference is just that we have more details. We have more details on revenues, we have more details on costs, on venues, and what Boston 2024 wants to do about the risks. So let's talk about all those, but let's start with the venues. You might have been following recently how they're moving more of the venues to other parts of the state. Mm-hmm. You know, handball in Worcester, canoeing on the Deerfield River out in the Berkshires. Well, it really is clear now that those are more the exception rather than the rule. Huh. The very bulk of the events are in and around Boston, and they're still saying that this is going to be a public transit-oriented, more compact Olympiad than any other Olympic Games. But there are still some big venues missing from this plan. Some of the more expensive event venues, the Aquatic Center, is still up in the air, and so is the Velodrome. Now, Boston 2024's chair, Steve Pagliuca, says that they're talking to different partners, universities, and other possible partners. And unlike in version 1.0, where they would show pictures of archery in front of MIT, and it turns out it's now going to be at the football stadium at Harvard, They're not going to announce venues before they've actually talked to these partners and the communities first.
Okay, so they've learned a lesson on that front. But, I mean, it seems as if a continuing question has long been what happens after the Games, after that temporary stadium comes down, the athletes leave. So, I mean, we heard a little bit about this. Tell us more about the plans for Wydette Circle and Columbia Point. New neighborhoods?
Yeah, these are really the two biggest construction projects of the Olympics. And of the two, I think Wydette Circle is probably the more radical change. This is the area sort of between South Boston and the South End at the tip of Dorchester. And Boston 2024 wants private developers to actually pay to prepare the land and the infrastructure for this big construction project, more than $1 billion. And then the Olympics would rent a 70,000-seat stadium and put that up there for the Games, take it back down again. And then this whole area would be turned into new housing, 4,000 new units, a hotel, other retail, a big commercial development. Here's David Manfredi from Boston 2024. He also happens to be an architect.
And this begins to transform 83 acres in the heart of the city that generates very little tax revenue today to an area of substantial tax revenue, but also begins to make a place, to make a destination in the city.
So that really would create a new neighborhood, maybe. Mm-hmm. Same thing to some extent, more of an extension of an existing neighborhood around Columbia Point. That's the Athlete Village next to the JFK UMass station. Another 4,000 units of housing there. And I should mention that for all of this, to see any of these pictures and the details and the charts, go to our website because all 200 pages are there at wbur.org.
Great. Okay, so Kurt, who's going to pay for all of this?
Yeah, well, they outlined more of their budget. They say they are, essentially, they're conservatively estimating right around $4.8 billion in revenue. $1.5 billion comes from the International Olympic Committee from TV contracts, really. Other money comes from selling, they say, 9.1 million tickets to the Games. Then there are sponsorships and other things like that. And as far as expenses go, they say they're budgeting over $4.5 billion, about $4.6 billion, to build these venues and run the Games. So they're projecting a surplus, what they're calling a contingency. And they're also suggesting that the state spend at least another $500 million in infrastructure and transportation improvements that aren't currently planned, such as the MBTA. They want some road improvements done, like Kosciuszko Circle down there by Columbia Point. If you've ever driven around there, it could use an update today,
Yes.
or yesterday. They would like that done. They're saying that would be $160 million. That's not part of what the Olympics would pay for. They say they can do the Olympics without that being done, but that's the sort of public investment that they say would be useful for Boston long term, but also good for the Olympics. But it's up to the city and the state to actually do that.
Okay, so the call for some public funding, but I hear a lot of private funding as well. But what if that private money doesn't come in? I mean, who is going to shoulder the burden if there are cost overruns?
Yeah, so that's a big worry and a big question for people in a city that got burned by the big dig, right? So Boston 2024 says they're taking out the largest insurance policy in Olympic history. They're budgeting $128 million in premiums as an umbrella policy in case, for instance, a sponsor doesn't pay up and you have to go after that money. That helps cover for things like that. Other revenues not coming through. But this is just the umbrella policy, and they say that there are going to be as many as 24 different types of insurance policies all the way down in this complicated mega project. What if a developer pulls out and says they don't have the capital to make it happen, for instance?
Right.
And so Boston 2024 Chair Steve Pagliuca says there's nothing that comes without risk, but he thinks his group has done a good job of mitigating the risks to taxpayers that they would have to pick up the bill.
We have about $270 million of contingency. We have insurances at every project level and many types of insurances, and then an umbrella policy that covers the rest of it. So we don't see that risk is as very minimal.
Do opponents of the bid buy that? What are they saying about these proposals?
Well, they say they need time to really work through these new documents and comb through the details like, you know, the rest of us do. But the opposition group No Boston Olympics says it does have big questions about this insurance plan. It may be bigger than before, but other Olympics have had these billions of dollars cost overruns that went, you know, over budget. And so they question whether this insurance plan would really be near enough.
Well, that's WBUR's business and technology reporter, Kurt Nikisch. Kurt, thanks as always.
Sure thing.
And let's turn now to Alan Abrahamson in Los Angeles. He writes extensively about the Olympics on his website, 3wiresports.com, and he'll be tracking Boston 2024 as they take their plan west to the USOC in California. And Alan, thanks for joining us again. It's good to have you back.
My pleasure. Hi.
Hi there. As Kurt just mentioned, 200 pages here. We're all sort of trying to catch up with it. But what's your first impression about this new plan?
My first impression is that it's not really going to be all that exciting or different, to tell you the truth. You know,
and how come?
Well, you know, I'm writing what they're trying to do is draft off the Barcelona model from 1992. And everyone knows that Barcelona is now one of the most desirable tourist spots in the world. Before those Olympics in 1992, Barcelona was sort of a meh city. And so what everyone has done since Barcelona is try to recreate the so-called Barcelona miracle. And that's what Boston is trying to do here. They're trying to create two new neighborhoods and this and that sort of the other thing. But that era of the Olympics is over. I mean, it's just done. And it ended in Sochi. It ended 15, 16 months ago in Sochi with a $51 billion hangover. And I just don't see how this is a winnable, saleable plan, to be honest.
And is the sort of principle of the Barcelona plan that's being proposed here in Boston, it's this idea of building the games into the city's long-term plans. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's exactly the plan. This is New York 2012 times two. I mean, you can see the hand of the people who were involved in the New York bid plan, I mean, totally at work here. There are references to Hudson Yards all over this. And I mean, you can see that at work. But again, this model is not what the Olympic Committee is after anymore. They've made this abundantly clear with Agenda 2020. This is why people in Western democracies are turning away from the Olympics. And it's time for a new and different strategy.
So what is the preferred model?
The preferred model is to go low-key, go to a place where there is a stadium. If you read these documents, It says they're going to build the Olympic Stadium for $176 million. Okay, that is completely unrealistic. If you want to do that when NFL stadiums are currently 10 times as much money, look, people, you picked a bad week to stop sniffing glue.
The plan is hugely ambitious. I mean, it just, if you go to RadioBoston.org and look at some of these pictures from Boston 2024, they're not only talking about building this stadium, but they're actually talking about elevating a huge chunk of the city to put up better defenses, essentially, from global warming. I mean, it's really an incredible proposal. But your suggestion is this level of, to go this big isn't what the IOC is looking for.
The IOC is not looking for this anymore. Mm. And I can tell you quite bluntly that while the IOC is actually feeling pretty okay about the United States of America right now, the IOC is not feeling very good about Boston.
Right.
And it is time to move on, no matter what the Boston people are trying to sell. The most interesting thing to me, by the way, today is that Mayor Walsh was not at this announcement. Now, look, in IOC circles, the mayor is the point person for these sorts of things. I think it's a fair question today to ask, where was the mayor and why wasn't he there?
You know, last week we talked to you about the fact that the International Olympic Committee was losing faith in the Boston bid, and you pointed out that with public approval so low, their attitude was basically, if Boston doesn't want the Olympics, then we don't want Boston. But let's just say that this bid 2.0 manages to excite a whole lot more public support for this plan. Does that help?
Sure, but it would be a lot more exciting if the mayor were on hand to cheerlead, wouldn't it? I mean, how, if you're a member of the International Olympic Committee and you're looking at this plan and you're like, where's the mayor? Where's the person who's supposed to be responsible for this? The mayor's the person who's signing the host city contract. Why isn't he front and center today?
Yeah. Well, Boston 2024, the members of Boston 2024, they're on their way to California, where they will present this plan to the USOC. From what you've heard in your reporting, how do you expect it will be received there by the U.S. Olympic Committee?
So I think this is a very difficult question. I think it's an excellent question. The USOC is well aware of the IOC's views. They're torn. They know what they need to do, but the question is, how much time is due Boston? So the realist would say, enough. Seriously, people, enough. The question is whether this buys Boston a little time or until September 14th with a September 15th deadline. The answer is nobody knows right now.
Hmm. Alan, one more question, and this is sort of speculation, and we'll eventually put this question to the critics of the Boston Olympic proposal. But one of the major criticisms was that this process hasn't been open enough to the public. In terms of what was presented today, do you think Boston 2024 has moved in that direction?
I think having the town meetings has certainly been helpful. Do I think that the process has been open enough to secure the community buy-in ahead of time that might have quelled all of the criticism that attends the bid now and will keep attending the bid no matter how long it goes on? Emphatically, no.
All right. Well, that's Alan Abrahamson. He's a writer and founder of ThreeWireSports.com, where he writes extensively about the Olympics. He's also a lecturer in sports writing at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism. Alan, many thanks.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Well, stay with us. When we come back, we'll take a look at why state courts often lead the way on civil rights. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.